I'm Nicole Purcell. This is a Please Explain Extra. As conflict escalates between Turkey and Syria, 66 Australian women and children, once living under Islamic State, are now stuck in Al-Hol camp. It's packed with 70,000 people, squalid conditions, and ever-present danger. And these Australians want to come home. But despite the Turkish ceasefire, the Australian government says it's too dangerous and is refusing to retrieve them. This is Home Affairs Department Secretary Mike Pezzullo in Senate Estimates on Monday night.
All of the outcomes are unattractive, high risk and regrettable, and it would have been much better, of course, for certain adults not to have made certain decisions to travel.
Investigations editor Michael Batchelard is in the Al-Hol camp and asked Zara and other families the questions many Australians have.
Zara, what are you afraid of? All right,
okay. Instead of just reliving what we're really too used to be honest with you, we're kind of calling out for help, and it's like we're being ignored. Really frustrating. We're calling for help. We're asking not to, relive the war or relive what we've... The children have already experienced way too much trauma, way too many bullets, way too many, even in the camp. Just the other night they had a shoot-off and the kids woke up crying, and then a few nights later it was thunderstorm and they thought it was shooting, and they all just woke up and they were hysterical. It's just, we're really tired.
And sick too, I think Shane's sick.
Yeah.
Do you know what you've got, Shane?
No, not really. There's no doctors and I don't really know what's wrong with me. Each thing I eat, it doesn't stay in my stomach. I throw it up or I have severe diarrhea and I just out of nowhere start to faint. And I just try to get myself up just for my kids, just so I can feed them and cook for them. There's no medical support here. It's like really hard to live here. Mm.
And what's the food and those kinds of conditions like?
It's getting quite scarce right here.
Scarce?
I think, yeah, because we've heard of the roads are starting to get blocked because of the war. So they're actually telling us in the shops, you know what, stock up on this water, or you know what, stock up on this flour, and you don't want to get hungry, and you don't want to... And just hearing that, can you imagine? It's really scary.
I'm going to ask you about public opinion in Australia, and I know, it's not always friendly, but I'm going to put to you some of the things that people say about you, and answer them just in however you want. One of the things is that you... volunteered for this, you made your bed, you've got to lie in it, that there's no, why should we help people who've done this?
Look, I can say, you want to...
No, he said, why should we help people that have done this? Done what? Like, what is it they think we've done? It's only fair that they hear what we have done, the reasons we were here or whatever, and then maybe they can say, you've made your bed, lie in it, whatever.
So you say that you didn't come here to fight, didn't...
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Is that what's been said?
Yes, that you've joined ISIS.
Absolutely not. No.
And I suppose people are sceptical about that because, after all, you're here.
No, which is definitely understandable, But I've said this once and I'll say it again. It's a really unfair generalisation they've made. Definitely unfair.
No.
They haven't even heard what we've got to say. They haven't even tried to hear what we have to say. That's the most frustrating part, is that we're willing to talk and we're willing to tell you and we're willing to share our story, but they haven't even tried to come and reach out to us. And when we ask, it's just like, they don't want you, they don't care. And it's really, really frustrating, to be honest with you. We are exhausted.
I'd actually like to share that even here in the camp, we've been able to reach out, to people that are very short on food, and we're sharing what we've got up to this date. Even my house is full of children, grandchildren, and we're always dividing whatever we have amongst those that have nothing around us. And that's why we came, and that's what we continue to do.
Some people also say that you and your children have been through such traumatic circumstances, which clearly you have, but that makes it dangerous to let you back into Australia, that it would be that your children would be radicalised or angry at what's happened to them and their families. How do you answer that?
I think at this point my child just really... His main question is, why can't we have a TV at home? Why can't we watch movies? don't agree with that at all.
Does anyone else want to say anything to that?
Really, our kids just really basically want a normal life. They want to go, be able to go to school, to have an education, to have friends, yeah. to be able to play outside without even being scared that a bomb might fall next to them or a bullet might fly past them. Our kids just basically want a normal life. They want to watch TV, be able to go to sleep knowing that nothing's going to happen that night to wake them up, crying at night. And then you have to rock your children to sleep because they're scared. And they block their ears and go to sleep. Our children just want a normal life. We want a normal life for our children. Our children have had enough.
And so when people say that you you shouldn't come back, that you should stay here, that Australia has no responsibility for you anymore, or if the government says, if you're a dual citizen, we'll cut off your Australian citizenship, how do you respond to that? It's not fair?
It's not fair, no. We are Australian citizens. We are. And we deserve, the right to be heard at least. And then you can make a judgment on us. But hear us out first.
Have you ever heard from the Australian government? Has the Australian government ever contacted you here?
Never.
None of you? And so when the minister says we're making an assessment individual by individual...
How is that? I'd just like to know how, if you've never even spoken to me. How? Through messages that I may have never even written, that were sent from my number, or through social media posts that someone else may have posted on my page? How is that fair?
One other thing that they say is that there are some people here who might have been tricked, who might be fine, but that there are other people here who are still hardcore, radical, ISIS, would go back and fight or create a sleeper cell in Australia if they were given the chance. Is that true? Is there some people who are like that and some people are not?
Within the Australian community, which is pretty much who you're going to meet right now, it's definitely untrue. In the camp, yes, it's true. In the camp, I was actually physically assaulted because I had my face uncovered once. Which is why I can't actually show you my face because I can't have it over the... Do you know what I mean? Because it's really unsafe. But amongst ourselves, it's definitely untrue.
Recently, Nesreen and Mariam made a TV show and uncovered their face.
Yes.
Has there been any ramifications of that from the other people at the camp?
We did hear that there were lots of threats going around, that they were going to get jumped, or going to get bashed. They did have to stay in their tents for quite a while, and we were on high alert around them. But thank God nothing's actually happened to them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Winter is coming. It's cold here.
It's
freezing. It snows. Do you have enough equipment? Do you have enough clothes? Do you have enough food?
No.
No?
No.
What do you... is that likely to be a problem for you and your children?
Of course.
We're already hearing the creepy cough from children around us, even our children. They're already sick, and it's only been like 3 days. It was a sudden weather change. Storms just hit suddenly. A lot of our tents flooded. And then it dried up, so we were still able, to do what we could. But, in winter, it's not going to be like that. It's not going to dry up. So we're expecting, we're hoping, and we believe that we won't be here.
I'm going to put one more thing to the government, to you, that the government says, and that's that it's too dangerous to send any... public servant here to come and take you home. Now we know that one family's already gone home, but what do you say to that it's too dangerous?
Look, if the Australian Army can't actually come out to save its own Australian citizens, then what's the Australian Army there for? Really, that's my question, to be honest with you. We see helicopters circulating the skies and landing, and then we hear, the Spanish left, or, the Belgians have left, or certain children or certain women or whoever have gone. So there is still a safe route available, yes. Because we can see it with our own eyes. There are still people being extracted from the camp.
If there wasn't a safe route, how did you come here?
Well, that's right. We came over the border legally by car and made it here.
The winter's coming and I'm scared because I've already lost a son to lack of medical services and I'm not ready to say goodbye to another of my child.
How many children do you have?
I had three. Now I have two.
Now you have two. And how did your son die?
Lack of medical services.
In the camp?
No.
Outside?
Yeah. There's no doctors anymore here. They've taken out Doctors Without Borders. The Red Cross doesn't come in anymore. The water is reducing. The food is getting scarce. And
there's no medicine. Really, the only thing I can give my child is honey. He wakes up at night having a cough attack, and even the roads, you know, getting more difficult to access. So even the honey's probably going to run out, and then what?
And there are a lot of children here, aren't there? There's, I think, 20...
Well, mostly children.
Yes, 44 children.
And I know they're all so young and small, it's hard to hear from them, but would Mesa talk to us?
Yes. I want to go home.
Can you say that again for us, Mesa?
I want to go home to school.
You want to go home to school? Do you remember Australia?
And I want to see my sister.
Your sister? Do you remember Australia, Mesa? What do you remember? Can you tell me what you remember?
My beautiful country.
Oh, what's that, sweetie?
My country.
You remember your country.
Can I share with you, this little boy is 1 year and 7 months.
Yeah.
When we came to the camp, he was one. He had abnormality in his spine due to the malnutrition. And only a couple of days ago, we got him to take a few steps.
So, oh, what?
Yes, this is something. Definitely a problem in his spine.
That was Michael Batchelard reporting from Al-Hol camp in Syria. You can follow his and photojournalist Kate Garrity's reporting over the coming weeks in The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald. And look out for our next Please Explain episode, which drops on Thursday.